Welcome back to the Ration Revolution. Thanks for listening to those commercials. They pay the bills. Hey, that's cool. That's all good. And you're here. We got Dan Schaefer, founder, creator, extraordinaire of the recombobulation area. And we're recombobulating on where Wisconsin politics sits. And we kind of talked a little bit. And I want to get to the roundtable thing that you had, because that was really cool. But where, you know, do you think Wisconsin's opinion of politics will shift when we don't have a Republican majority in the legislature? That's going to be Petri dish, dude.
Yeah. I think we are kind of approaching an end of a certain era in Wisconsin politics, in this era of divided government where we had a Democratic governor and a Republican controlled state legislature, and kind of that back and forth dynamic between, you know, Tony Evers and Robin Voss in particular, over the past 8 years has really dominated our politics. And I think, you know, we're getting close to the end game for that. You know, you mentioned that Tony Evers' final state of the state address is happening next week. And, you know, the state legislature is kind of racing to their imaginary finish line to try and get as much done here in February so that they can go campaign for 9 months as they are wont to do.
They're going to need it.
And they're going to need it, because I think the national headwinds being what they are. Yep. And I think that the realignment that has been unfolding in Wisconsin politics, is something that I'm going to be watching closely in terms of turnout for a midterm election, because, you know, it used to be that some of the folks who are what, you know, political science dorks like me will call those low propensity voters, used to be those voters tended to be more liberal, more voting with Democrats, particularly when Barack Obama was on the ballot. Now that has flipped, and some of those lower propensity voters, people who might not vote in the midterms, might not vote in their local elections, whatever it might be, a lot of those folks have drifted much more to the Trump version of the Republican Party in recent years. And so, you know, we talked a little bit about last year's state Supreme Court race. Now, the turnout for that was pretty close to a midterm level turnout.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And Susan Crawford won that race by a pretty comfortable margin. And if you mapped that turnout onto the 2024 results, Kamala Harris would have won Wisconsin.
Yes.
So a lot of those folks who turned out just for Trump in the 2020 election maybe didn't turn out in the state Supreme Court race. And it's a big question. I think maybe the big question going into the 2026 midterm elections, what was turnout going to look like on the Republican side? And with Tom Tiffany as the likely Republican nominee, is he going to deliver the type of turnout that Trump was able to deliver in 2024? And can he continue, you know, consolidating some of the support in some of the suburban counties, because he's a, you know, he's represented northern Wisconsin throughout his career? You know, can he connect with that Wow County Republican base the way some previous Republicans had as well? I think that's a big question for him.
I don't think he can.
You know? Well, you talked about how Tommy Thompson said he might struggle in those, you know, kind of the state's urban centers.
Tommy Thompson said he's going to lose.
That's a big deal.
That's going to be fascinating to see. And another thing that was fascinating to see was something you put together. You did like this round table that I don't know, like, for you, and then maybe a debate where you get those.
So it was a candidate forum.
Well, no, I'm saying like where the only time during this campaign where I think all of those people will be in the same room is going to be for a debate that they have. Yeah. And then you.
Well,
that was a big deal, dude.
Yeah, we had the seven top Democratic candidates running for governor on stage together for the first time a few weeks ago in Milwaukee. I had the honor of being the kind of host and MC for the event that we put together with Main Street Action. Shout out to the good folks at Main Street Action and Main Street Alliance for all of their wonderful work that they do, focusing on, you know, a lot of these small business kitchen table issues that are, there's such a big deal in Wisconsin. But yeah, we had that group of seven candidates: Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, State Representative Francesca Hong, State Senator Kelda Royce, former WEDC CEO Missy Hughes, Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes and former DOA Secretary Joel Brennan all shared the stage together for the first time in Milwaukee. It was a really fascinating discussion. And, you know, I think that this is a really strong group. I mean, I've heard Republicans criticize this big field and whatever it might be. I think this is a really strong group of very qualified candidates. And I think at this moment where the Democratic Party needs to figure out its direction going forward, having a robust debate like this, I think, is a good, good thing.
Yes. What were your takeaways of it? Did anything surprise you?
You know, I think because it's one thing to see, you know, these types of primary or discussions in a primary because they're all Democrats, right? They're right. You know, we'll have a question about, you know, expanding Badger care or whatever it might be. And Democrats are going to agree in broad strokes and on a lot of those issues. But I think, you know, you're going to see some of these the details really matter in some of this. You know, we've seen that in recent weeks on a couple immigration conversations. We saw that at the forum with some of the conversations on health care, on child care, what some of the very specific differences between the candidate are, too. And, you know, just from my perspective, too, it was really interesting to see that group of seven together for the first time and the way some of them, you know, interacted differently to certain questions. Like there was one question that was about the manufacturing and agriculture tax credit in Wisconsin. And when that got brought up, the two, you know, state legislators, Francesca Hong and Kelda Royce, I saw them both kind of like turn in unison, recognizing, you know, what that question was going to be about because they're just in the thick of it in the Capitol. And, you know, I think there's going to be some questions about like kind of executive experience that'll get to, you know, David Crowley or some of the other folks who have had like top jobs, Missy Hughes, Joel Brennan, you know, some of that executive experience in the race. And I think, you know, you talked to Mandela Barnes on your show within the last couple of weeks, too. And you know, he obviously has a lot of that type of experience to talk about from his time as lieutenant governor and whatnot as well. So, you know, I think it's going to be it was also just kind of fun to, you know, we had this moment right before everybody took the stage and I just gave all of the candidates the rundown on how, you know, how the question and answer process is going to go. And it was, you know, it was kind of fun to order around the seven potential next governor for a couple minutes there.
Surreal.
You know, it was a good time. Yeah.
How absolutely. Is there, would you, if you do another one, would you do anything different? Is there, you know?
Yeah, I think because this was a candidate forum and we had some of the Main Street Action members being the ones to ask the questions, we wanted to be able to give people, you know, some time to do that. But what this didn't really offer was like a debate format. This was a candidate forum. This was more a little bit more like town hall style. So you didn't have like a lot of back and forth between some of the candidates. If I were to host another event like that, I would like to see it a little bit more debate style so that we could get some back and forth and get into it, have some disagreement. Why not? Right.
Yeah, like
you know, there's so much to talk about. And so I'd really be interested to see, you know, some of those differences emerge and see how people would defend their positions. And, you know, I think there's a lot of big issues that demand some nuance. Like I think the immigration debate, you know, we've seen that unfold, it's with some, you know, kind of higher profile interviews that some of these candidates have done on Upfront or some of the other TV networks that, do some of these longer form interviews with folks. And, you know, Sarah Rodriguez said something at a recent interview where she said, talked about the way that ICE approached certain warrants. And then a bunch of candidates criticized her and then she walked it back. So I you know, I would want to see if we did another event like that, I would want to see some of that happen in real time. I would want to see, you know, those debates happen in person in real time and see, you know, kind of how and where and why candidates would say what they would have to say.
Someone sent me a message like, is there room for an error in this primary? And it's like, I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be really, really intense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, seven qualified candidates. And I, you know, I was following some of the campaign finance reporting type stuff for the, you know, kind of first few months of fundraising for these folks and just be like, all right, did they all kind of meet a threshold where they have enough money to run a viable campaign going forward? And they did. Like each of these candidates fundraised pretty well, like, you know, some better than others. I think David Crowley topped the field. But looking ahead, you know, I think these are going to be, I think there's a good chance this is a primary all the way until August. You know, there was a event happening this week where I saw Robin Voss and some of the Democratic legislative leaders talking about the race. And Voss was like, oh, well, you know, the bigwigs will have their say, just like in 2022 when everybody dropped out and endorsed Barnes. You know, they're going to, the same thing's going to happen again. And I, you know, it let's overlook the fact that it just happened on the Republican side.
What's he going to say about
with,
that?
Trump endorsing Tom Tiffany and clearing Josh Shulman out of the race. I think this is going to be competitive all the way until August. I really do. I don't think we're going to see the type of, you know, people drop out when they recognize that there is a clear front runner. I don't think we're going to see that this time. I think this is going to be competitive all the way until August. And again, I will say it over and over. There are some bedwetters on the Democratic side who are very nervous about a primary. I think this is a good thing. I think this is a good thing to be in the news, to be having these conversations, and to all be able to direct their Republican criticism on one person. You're going to have seven Democrats criticizing Tom Tiffany in a myriad of ways over the next 7 months. And again, I think this is a good thing for Democrats.
I know. I'm one of those bedwetters just because of the fact that if all seven do direct their criticism to Tom Tiffany, that's great. Then it's fine. But we're seeing already some of they're not directing them to Tom Tiffany. They're directing their criticisms to each other. And I think that's tough. And if whoever's the nominee spends all their money in that primary trying to get out of a very, very competitive primary, that's going to suck.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard.
But then you've got WIS Dems able to, if they're not, you know, picking a horse in the race, they just get to criticize Tiffany all year.
Yes.
And they, you know, Tiffany gave an interview on Newsmax this past week after Pam Bondi's disastrous congressional hearing over the Epstein files. And and he, you know, she had that like viral moment that a lot of people are making fun of now, where just like, hey, the Dow's over 50,000.
I saw that live.
Why are we talking about the Epstein files? Look at the Dow. And then Tiffany went on Newsmax and was just like, oh, I thought Pam Bondi hit the nail on the head with that. And then WIS Dems put out this press release calling him a few names I'm not sure I can say on the radio.
Yes.
But, you know, they're going to be able to just criticize Tiffany. He took a vote on tariffs, which are very unpopular. They're going to be able to criticize that. They're going to be able to criticize his any, you know, and Tiffany is just all over social media every second. They're just building the Oppo file on that. So there's going to be a lot there.
I said this to Mandela Barnes as he was on the show, and I said, like, all seven, they're going to agree on the core things.
Sure.
And if that message in November is, this guy's hurting you and I'm going to stop it, that is a very, very powerful message to be able to put out, because people are feeling that.
Yeah.
They are feeling that it's hurt.
When there is a very unpopular president in the White House, it tends to not go well for his party in the midterms.
Right, right. And final thoughts just on Governor Evers' last State of the State address. What do you think he's going to say, Dan Schaefer?
You know, I think he'll have a lot to say, but I hope this doesn't become kind of a lame duck type year for him, because of the way that the Republicans have operated in the legislature. They try to get everything done by March and then go campaign.
Yep.
What's going to happen between March and November in state government? Is he going to call special sessions? Is he going to have certain priorities? I'll be looking for stuff like that in the speech next week.
Yeah, and I do hope that history looks really, really kindly on him, because he's really done a fantastic job at protecting the people of Wisconsin. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much, dude. It goes by
Mark
so
Becker,
fast.
Thanks so much for having me. Always wonderful to talk with you.
Thank you so much, buddy. We'll talk soon, and stick around for my thoughts here on the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network.